Tonight's edition of the X Podcast is brought to you by Audible and Native. This is K-Town. I'm going to take you through some of the most creepy, chilling, and downright terrifying experiences you've ever heard. This is the X Podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Thank you for joining me tonight for another edition of the X Podcast. I am your host, K-Town, and here on the X Podcast, I'm going to serve up some of the most terrifying true stories that you've ever heard concerning true crime, missing people, haunted locations, and the darkest parts of humanity are all explored. There's no place that I won't take you if you dare to go. And tonight's edition is about people who murder and keep the bodies close by. But before we get into that, let me go ahead and thank the newest members of our Patreon community, starting with Casey Miller, David Kasminster. I hope that's right, David. I didn't mess up your name. I hate that when there's a name I can't pronounce. And then we have Samantha Wykirk, JP, Chica's Man, Chris DeLeon, Norma Riviera, Frankis Mooney, and Gabrielle Valdez. Thank you guys for taking the step to support us on Patreon and get access to our backlog. I hope you enjoy those. And let me show some love to listeners that have left some great ratings and reviews. I have Elmo, and I don't know how to say the rest of that. Elmo says, interesting and creepy. I love K-Town's voice. I appreciate the research you put into the pod. Loyal Listener 84 gave me a little bit of a backstory about the show called When Demons Come, that they've been dealing with this sleep paralysis for quite some time. I'm sorry to hear that, but thank you for the awesome rating and review. Then I have SWY Kurt says, love it. By far my favorite podcast, and I've tried a lot of podcasts, so glad you are putting out new content. Keep them coming. Okay, then we have Chucky0220 says, love it. I love this podcast. Please, please, please make them longer. Then I have Chucky0220 says, love it. Thank you for that, Chucky. And then we have Jay says, I love this. I literally started listening to this podcast, and oh my God, it's so scary. I never heard anything like this. It's so good. Great job. Keep up the good work. Thank you for that, Jay. That was an awesome review. I really love that. Sammy MPLS says, love it. Talk more about the dark web. Everybody likes the dark web. I got some of that coming, but that's going to be for Patreon supporters. And I'm going to warn you right now, please don't listen to it. If you cannot take the dark stuff, the heavy stuff, please don't listen to it. Okay. So, it's coming, and I'm just going to forewarn you, it's only for Patreon supporters. So be looking out for that. Okay. And then we have Chica's Man Productions says, yes, queen. K-Town is my horror true crime sugar mama. Okay. I love it. Thank you for that. I laugh when I read that one. Then we have Meowzy Norma. Morbidly good. I really like this podcast. Please post more episodes. I want more. Okay. Thank you for that. And then we have Kim Marie 13 says, give us more. I love this podcast. And thank you for that, Kim. Dino King 12, my fave. Keep up the good work. This podcast is so entertaining. And we have Mama Pike 2 says, love it. Gavry, favorite podcast. And then GT Toy Soldier says, best creepy podcast. Awesome reviews. I do it for you. And thank you for supporting this show. Most killers will commit their crime and make a damn run for it. But there are those who feel the need to do some pretty creepy things with the bodies of the deceased. They will often hide the corpses, thinking that they are somehow more clever than the police. Sometimes they will keep the dead close or even underfoot. There is no telling why some murderers feel the need to hide their victims when, as history shows us, many bodies are discovered and their murderers are eventually caught. The victims on this list were no exception. However, even though some of these killers knew that they may be caught, unbelievably, they tried it anyway. Here are some of those cases. Out of London in 1946 came the news of a mother's terrible loss. Mrs. Beresford owned a home and rented out rooms to loggers. Her son Harry was a 19-year-old soldier. One day, Harry stopped by his mother's home and he met one of the loggers who seemed to think he was the king of his mother's house. There must have been some kind of dispute because Harry was never seen alive again. After some time passed, Harry was listed as a deserter, but his mother could scarcely believe it. Maybe he was hiding in his bedroom, she thought. After all, the logger who thought he ran the house kept her son's bedroom door locked and prevented her from entering it. After 2 months had passed, Mrs. Beresford forced the door open. She could not see her son in the room, but she did see a loose footboard. She lifted the footboard and put her hand inside. She thought she felt a knee, but she wasn't sure. After some time, she visited the room several more times and began to notice a disagreeable smell. She finally realized the awful truth and informed police. The logger who lived in her house was promptly arrested and charged with murder. Early in the 20th century, when women committed murder, it was a shocking event because people felt that a woman couldn't commit such a heinous crime. In 1915, Mrs. Mary Panamas allowed a crippled peddler into her apartment while her husband was away. The peddler, Michael Weinstein, threatened to reveal to her husband some very personal letters she had written, and it was enough to send her into a panic and murder the man. Normally, when someone commits a murder, they either go on the run or they get rid of the body. But Mrs. Panamas had other ideas. Instead, she dragged the body into her bedroom and stuffed it in the box couch. That night, after her husband returned home, they both slept in the bedroom where the body was hidden. The next day, while her husband was out of the apartment, Mrs. Panamas pulled the body out of the box couch. She then proceeded to chop the corpse up into little pieces, wrap each piece neatly in newspaper, and then place them right back in the box couch. Being ever busy, Mrs. Panamas rented a new apartment the same day and arranged for a new trunk to be delivered so that she could move the body parts. The only problem was that she wanted to make a run for it, and she told her husband what she had done that night. Being a good man, apparently, her husband spent the rest of the night begging her to surrender to police. By day three, she was in the police station, confessing to every gruesome detail. I want to talk about a match made in heaven for listeners of this show, and that's Audible, with the best selection of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment hands down. Audible is something that you can enjoy anywhere, literally. Whether you're sitting and waiting at an appointment, or you're waiting to take a flight, or maybe you're on your way to work, it is definitely worth having. And not to mention those killer Audible originals created exclusively for audio, including documentaries, exclusive audiobooks, and scripted shows that you can't hear anywhere else. And now, as 'tis the season to be good to yourself and take advantage of Audible's special offer, you get 53% off your first 3 months. Right now, for a limited time, you get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. And all you have to do to take advantage of this offer is visit audible.com/xpodcast or text xpodcast to 500-500. Again, for a limited time, you get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's half off the regular price. And to take advantage, just visit audible.com/xpodcast or text xpodcast to 500-500. Now you say, K-Town, what do you recommend? Well, I do have a great recommendation for you. It's called A Killer's Mind by Mike Omer. And this book is surrounding three Chicago women who have been found strangled, embalmed, and posed as if still alive. Doubting their findings, of the local PD's profiler, the FBI calls on forensic psychologist Zoe Bentley to investigate. It is a great audiobook. Now is the best time to check out Audible by taking advantage of their limited time offer to get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's half off the regular price, and you can do that easily by going to audible.com/xpodcast or text xpodcast to 500-500. Remember that by supporting Audible, you are supporting the X Podcast. All right, now I want to talk to you about something that may be a little uncomfortable, but very necessary. We have to be diligent now to take care of our health, and I mean in terms of the products that we use every day. That's why I want to introduce you to Native. Native has simple, safe, and effective products that people use in their bathroom every day. With over 8,000 five-star reviews, the ingredients in their products are trusted and the performance is unmatched. Formulated without aluminum, parabens, and talc, all of their ingredients are natural, such as coconut oil and shea butter. No animal testing ever, and they offer free shipping and returns. Our team here at the X Podcast uses Native deodorant, and we can tell you that it works. People absolutely love this deodorant. You can check them out in Today Show, Elle Magazine, Pop Sugar, Refinery 29, and many more. We've all heard the term less is more, and in this case, it's absolutely true. They have fewer, simpler ingredients, so you know everything that's in their deodorant. And your health is worth it. As we know, aluminum may be linked to some serious health ramifications, and you won't have to worry about that because Native is aluminum free, so you know it's safe and effective. They've got variety covered for men and women, plus they release new limited edition seasonal scents throughout the year. Or maybe you want it unscented, and you can get that. And they also have baking soda free formula for those with sensitivities. You owe it to yourself to check it out, and we use it here with absolutely no complaints. And Kim, why don't you tell them how to take advantage of this special offer?
Okay, K-Town, I'd love to. For 20% off your first purchase, please visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code K-Town during checkout. And don't forget, for the holidays, they even have the candy cane scent. Now is the perfect time to try Native deodorant. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code KTOWN during checkout. Remember, by supporting Native Deodorant, you are supporting the X Podcast.
Dr. Pierre Borgrat had a medical practice in France back in 1925, and by all outward appearances, he seemed to be an upstanding citizen until his money problems got the best of him. First, the doctor cheated on his wife and eventually divorced her. As with almost all new marriages, things were great at first, but their spending habits exceeded their income, and soon he was accused of writing bad checks. At his practice, there were other weird things happening. For example, one of his patients stopped by to visit him, and he was never seen again. Another patient, a woman, came forward and claimed that the doctor had tried to poison her after she had lent him a sizable amount of money. As suspicions began to reach the ears of the police, officers went to arrest Dr. Borgrat for writing a series of bad checks. With him in their custody, they searched his office. Nothing seemed out of order except for a strange, damp spot along one of the walls. It piqued the interest of police, and they stripped the wallpaper back to discover a hidden cupboard. They opened it, and out fell the body of the man that disappeared earlier. The young man's wallet, said to have contained a large sum of cash, was missing. The doctor, of course, had an excuse for the body in the cupboard. He claimed that the young man had come to him, worrying having lost a large sum of money. He asked me if I could lend him some money, he said. I did my best to calm him and left the surgery for a few minutes, and when I came back, he was dead. I was afraid I would be accused of his murder, so I hid his body in the cupboard, which I papered over. Dr. Borgrat was arrested, and as he awaited trial, the police found evidence that he may have also murdered a cook, an American bar manager, and a hospital nurse. Next up, we have Fred Etchley. Fred Etchley of St. Paul, Minnesota, was a drunk and an ex-convict. He also couldn't survive without stealing from others. And one day, he found himself the perfect victim. Fred met and murdered another St. Paul man inside the victim's shack in 1908, blowing the top of his head clean off with his shotgun. It was alleged that Fred took $70 from the victim's pocket, and then he buried the body under the shack's floorboards. And without skipping a damn beat, Fred made himself right at home. He ate the victim's food and slept in the shack with the dead body beneath his feet. Before long, people became suspicious, and while Fred was out, the police raided the home and discovered the victim's body. Fred was captured and confessed to the murder, claiming that he could not be held fully responsible for the murder because he was a drunk. When asked about the money, Fred said it did him little good. A pickpocket stole the money shortly after Fred murdered the man, while Fred was again drunk. Next, we have Pierre Vorbeau. Pierre was known by his acquaintances to be a bit of an oddball, but they never expected that there was a monster within the man until 1869. Pierre needed money and, as always, had borrowed a large sum from a friend. Knowing that he could not pay the old man back, he did the next best thing, he thought. Pierre invited the man over to his Paris apartment for coffee. Upon entering the apartment, Pierre hit the man with a flat iron and then cut his throat. He then dissected the body and dumped the body parts into a nearby well. In an effort to prevent police from ever identifying the man, Pierre took the man's decapitated head and poured molten lead into the mouth and ears. He later sank the head to the bottom of the river. Fortunately, Pierre was discovered and confessed to his gruesome crime. It was believed that he may have committed 10 previous murders as well, but it was never thoroughly proven. And Pierre, while awaiting trial, managed to slit his own throat with a knife that had been hidden inside a loaf of bread. Mrs. Winnie Ruth. The police searched for Mrs. Winnie Ruth Judd for 5 days following the discovery of two women she was accused of murdering back in 1931. Unbeknownst to authorities, she was hiding among the coffins in an undertaker's establishment until, starved and frightened, she decided to turn herself in to the Los Angeles police. According to Mrs. Judd, she had gotten into an argument with friends. After having a night of celebration, one of the women pulled out a gun and shot Mrs. Judd through her hand. She wrestled with the two women and got the gun away from them. At that point, she shot both of them. Mrs. Judd, if her story was true, should have gone straight to the police at that moment, but she didn't. Instead, she decided to take it up a notch, and she hacked the two women into pieces, placed them into two traveling trunks, and while wearing a disguise, booked the trunks onto a Southern Pacific Railway. Charles Travis, age 21, was an American on vacation with his wife in London. They had their 10-month-old son with them, but the young couple were not fit for the duties of parents. The child, Dean, cried quite often during the night while they were in London. A doctor was called in, and the father insisted that the baby had scarlet fever, but the doctor assured him that his son was healthy and merely had some mild skin irritation. For another 3 weeks, the child would cry at night, as most young children do. But the father had had enough. One night, Charles awoke to the crying, got out of bed, and went into his son's room. Looking down upon his face, he placed his hand over his mouth, squeezed his nose shut, and pressed down on his windpipe until the child ceased to breathe. The next morning, Charles put his child's body into a kit bag and left on a train to Birmingham, where he then dropped the bag off at a coat room, gave a false name, and returned by train to London. Later that evening, Charles got word to his parents that his son had died from scarlet fever. Meanwhile, the landlady of the place that they were staying at became suspicious when she no longer heard the baby crying. The police were brought in and questioned the parents, who claimed that the infant was being cared for by some friends. However, the inspector didn't believe him, and eventually he got Charles to confess to murder. Charles was arrested and sent to trial. He was found not guilty of murder, but was convicted and sentenced to 5 years penal servitude for manslaughter. After committing murders, some killers would go the extra mile or hundreds of miles just to get rid of the body, such as the case where human remains were discovered in an irrigation channel. Mr. Crawford, a channel guard, was making his rounds one day as he walked along the banks of a channel in Canada. He noticed a bran bag in water and went to check it out. On opening the bag, he discovered the body parts of a human being, and the police were immediately contacted. The police uncovered a terrible sight. The torso was dressed in two shirts and disemboweled. The head was cut off, and both of the victim's legs had been severed at the thighs. It was determined that the body parts had been in the water for about 2 months. Being that this happened way before DNA analysis was available, there was no way to identify the body, and it was assumed that it may have been a former resident of a nearby county. The case was just another mystery, and all they could do was take the remains to the coroner. Have you ever dealt with someone who was so annoying that you pictured yourself doing some sort of bodily harm to that person? I think everybody's had a dark fantasy like that every now and again. But James Hazleton followed through with his urge. Mr. Hazleton and his wife got into an argument in their home in New Haven, Connecticut. It was a stupid argument, like most, and his wife began dredging up past offenses. Mr. Hazleton could not take it anymore, and in the most cold-blooded fashion, he hit her over the head with a hammer. His wife collapsed, and while she was blacked out, he grabbed a knife and stabbed her. After he was certain that she was dead, Mr. Hazleton stuffed her body in a large trunk, and without an ounce of remorse, he slept on top of the trunk for several nights. Finally, he threw a quilt on top of it and went on the run. After being captured in New York City, Mr. Hazleton confessed to his crimes, saying, "Yes, I killed her because we could not get along together." That's it for this edition. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. This is K-Town, and I'll see you next time on the X Podcast.